Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 7. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. Brother Larry, you pray, would you please, and ask the Lord to help us. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. And as you're being seated, would you turn with me to Luke chapter number 16 and listen carefully. I saw you yesterday as you began your daily chores. You awoke without kneeling to pray. As a matter of fact, you didn't even bless your meals or pray before going to bed last night. You are so unthankful. I like that about you. I cannot tell you how glad I am that you have not changed your way of living. You're a fool. You belong to me. Remember, you and I have been going steady for years. I still don't love you yet. As a matter of fact, I hate you. Because I hate God. I am only using you to get even with God. You see, He kicked me out of heaven, and I'm going to use you as long as I possibly can to pay Him back. You see, you fool, God loves you, and He has great plans in store for you. And it's my intention to mess those plans up. But you've yielded your life to me, and I'm going to make your life a living hell. That way, we'll be together twice in the fiery, fiercely burning fires of hell. This will really hurt God. Thanks to you, I'm really showing Him who is boss in your life with all the good times we've had and are having. We've been together while watching dirty movies, doing unspeakable things, cursing people, stealing, lying, being hypocritical, fornicating, and visiting dirty websites together. We've been overeating and telling dirty jokes, gossiping, being judgmental, backstabbing people, disrespecting adults and those in leadership position. We have a really bad attitude toward the church and the people in it. Surely you don't want to give all these things up. Come on now, fool. Let's burn together forever. I've got some really hot plans for both of us here and in hell. This is just a letter of appreciation from me to you. I'd like to say thanks for letting me use you for most of your foolish life. You are so gullible, I laugh at you. When you're tempted to sin, you give in. You make me sick. Sin is beginning to take its toll on your life. You look 20 years older, and now I need new blood. So go ahead and teach some children how to sin. All you have to do is smoke and get drunk and drink. Cheat, gamble, gossip, fornicate. Live selfishly as possible. Do all these things in the presence of little ones because they'll do it also. You know, kids are like that. Well, I have to let you go for now. I'll be back in a couple of seconds to tempt you again. If you were smart, you would run somewhere else and confess your sins and live for God with what little bit of life you have left. But you're just not that smart. It's not in my nature to warn anybody, but to be your age and still sinning, it's become a bit ridiculous. Don't get me wrong, I still hate you. It's just that you would make a better fool for Christ than you are for me. If you really love me, you will not share this letter with anyone. Yours for as long as you want me to be, Satan. I copied that down because I think it speaks to where we are in the day and time in which we are. If you're here today and you're already saved, you should be rejoicing in the fact that you're not going to go to a devil's hell. Amen. And then eventually to the lake of fire. But if you're here today and you're unsaved, it's unfortunate that you could probably attend the majority of churches and
never hear about hell anymore at all. Hell's become one of those subjects that's one of those unspeakable things that we say we believe in the church under the cover of darkness, and we say it secretly and even in whispers in the back room, but we don't want to talk about it. As a matter of fact, mainstream Christianity now teaches preachers not to preach on hell because it is divisive and will cause people not to want to come back to church because it makes them uncomfortable. That's right. Yeah. To remind a person of where they were going to go if they hadn't got saved, in and of itself is bad enough. But to tell a person that that is where they are going to go definitively has become something nowadays that says nobody can actually say that. And then they fill in with all of their excuses. In the Bible, it starts all the way back in the Old Testament, as early as the book of Deuteronomy, where he begins to talk about hell from beneath is moved and has come up to meet you at his coming, and talking about the bottoms of hell being set on fire, and that his anger being kindled in the book of Deuteronomy will kindle into the lowest hell. That's God's wrath on you. The Apostle Paul speaks on a regular basis of damnation and the lowest hell, meaning in the sense of eternal wrath against your sin. And yet people nowadays don't want to talk about hell. And I think one of the reasons they air condition the place is because they plan on moving in. Yeah. I think one of the reasons that we become so commonplace is that we as Christians think that Christianity is something that we get into because it makes us financially prosperous. As a matter of fact, even in our circles, the prosperity gospel has become so commonplace that you now hear more in reference to psychological sermons and psychological helps and psychiatric benefits than you do about what the Bible has to say. Very few people preaching on the Bible anymore. We're trying to help you with whatever idiosyncrasy you might have, whatever problems in your marriage or in your family or with your finances or, God forbid, with your friends. Or even politics has risen to a level that hell is almost never mentioned. If I was the devil, I would do all I could to write hell right out of the Bible. If I was the devil, I would be like the new versions that try to get you confused between Gehenna and Hebrew and Sheol and Hades or Hades and all that. And instead of trusting that the Holy Spirit, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, inspired the writers of the King James Bible to use hell when hell needs to be used to let you know of a literal place it was, if I was the devil, I'd write that out and say, you got to have an education to understand that kind of stuff. I would take a place of eternal torments completely out of the Bible and just promise everybody, hey, if you just live right, do good and do right, a loving God would never put you in hell. Mm-hmm. Let me say this at the onset of this message. Amen. It's high time that we understand that hell is a doctrine that is biblically true. Amen. And I know for certain that I am preaching to somebody today, whether here or over that internet, that as sure as I'm standing here, going to be in hell. It makes no difference if you believe it or not. It doesn't cease to exist because you're intellectually been fooled into thinking you're smarter than God. Most of us don't clearly understand that if God warns us in the Bible, some 162 particulars that He has without the reference in the Pauline epistles that Paul makes to the wrath of God and those kind of things, just the mention of hell 162 times, 70 of which God, Jesus Christ Himself, speaks on hell, He does it for a reason. Because He doesn't want you to go there. So strong is His inference that in Matthew chapter 25 and in verse number 41, He says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." That's where you find in Revelation 20 where the devil winds up. He winds up in a lake of fire. Understand, the lake of fire is there after hell. People say, "I want a second chance." You'll get a second chance. You're going to go to hell, and then you're going to have your righteousness brought up before God. And if you can match Jesus Christ, you won't go to the lake of fire forever. But nobody here has yet to match the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's why those of us that are saved have the blood of Jesus Christ. It cleanses us from all sin. People call what I'm going to talk about today, they call it old-fashioned, old-time, white horse religion. It's not religion. Religion has bred hell right out of the Bible. Religion has created this sort of an atmosphere that there's nobody that's really inherently bad. Listen, the Bible says that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. So if you don't understand that today you're a sinner and you're taking your seat among sinners here, all we are, if we're saved, is saved sinners, and you're a lost sinner. Right, right. The majority of churches, not making them the gold standard, don't preach on hell. As a matter of fact, the majority of mainstream preachers don't preach on it. And the reason being is that it is such an unpopular subject. And nowadays, they're casting doubt not upon what the man is saying, but what the Bible is saying. Well, maybe it's just metaphoric. Maybe it's just an illustration. Maybe it's something like Dante's Inferno, where there's degrees and stuff, but it's really just a fable. It's just something mystical. Keep talking that way to yourself until you find yourself there. But once you get there, there'll be no getting out of there. Many times people nowadays, I did quite a bit of research and I looked and I found all these people that claim to have been there. You know what I know about this man we're going to talk about in Luke 16? He didn't believe in hell or he wouldn't have been there. You know, if you die today and you wind up going to hell, you know why you'll go to hell? Because you don't believe it exists. You know why you're not saved? It ain't the hypocrites in the church. You don't believe in an eternal burning hell. You believe you're righteous enough to make it into God. You're going to put it on God. You're going to say, well, if God really loved me, He wouldn't put me there. God sent His only begotten Son to save you. And the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, He's angry with the wicked every day. And He's angry with you if you don't get saved. Why? Because you're not in His Son, Jesus Christ. He sent His Son so you don't have to go there. I heard that old preacher preach time and time and time again. The Bible says a hell was prepared not for mankind, but for the devil and his angels. If you're not the devil or one of his angels, why would you wind up there? He never prepared it for you. If you find yourself there, it's because you made a choice to reject Jesus Christ. The fellow said, what in hell do I have to do to go to hell? Nothing. You don't have to do anything. You're headed there. Once you get to the point where you recognize your sin is against the holy God, all you have to do is sit on your blessed assurance and do nothing. You don't have to commit robbery, rape, murder, incest, or anything else you want to put on your list of things to do or not do. All you have to do is nothing, and you'll find yourself in hell. A lot of church people going to hell. Fellow preached a long time ago. He said, how many people are going to go straight to hell from a church pew? Because a lot of people think, because I go to church, that I'm saved. You're not saved because you go to church. Going to church doesn't make you saved. Being in Christ makes you saved. But the sermons are unpopular today, and even Christians nowadays don't want to hear it. I think sometimes because we don't want to look back and think, well, that's where I could have been. If you want to have something to shout about and something to get excited about, you realize I'm going to heaven and I'm not going to hell. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for me. Hell's a horrible place. It's a terrible, terrible place to go. You say, why are you preaching that? That's the mainstream of why we're here. Ladies and gentlemen, you have kids that are here that are not saved yet. You have people that you bring as visitors and stuff. I would hate for you to have brought a visitor to this church for a long period of time and them never hear hell mentioned. You say, why? It's a fundamental of the faith. It's an absolute. It's the most important thing in the Bible. Where you go when you die, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. The judgment that comes on you after you die, Paul said, absent from the body and present with the Lord. Well, that's because you're saved, Paul. If you're not, absent from the body and present down in hell. The devil ain't down there right now. He's up over your head, seven-headed red dragon up there swimming around in the deep. I don't have time to go there. But what you understand is that when you go to hell, you start burning right now. Well, surely you don't believe that. That's the old time stuff. I believe it because of what the Bible says. I believe I go there because I committed deicide. I crucified the Son of God. He died for my sins according to Scripture, was buried, raised again the third day according to Scripture. Why you get so jacked up about it? Why don't you? What other point is there for being alive today? To give you a better life? What other point is there to make you have a better marriage or to have a happier life? Hey, that can be here today and gone tomorrow. A visit to the doctor can change just like that. And what you thought was set for retirement has changed overnight. A car accident, a disease, a hospital bed, a divorce, a death can change your life forever. But you'll not change hell. Hell's going to be there until the Lord stops it and He winds up having the entire universe eradicated and they stand there at the great white throne judgment and the Lord brings all those out of hell and says, okay, give an account for yourself. You and I will stand there if we're blood-washed, born-again Christians and we'll watch as people come up there and say, well, no preacher ever told me about that. The Lord said, yeah, but Romans 1 said, you know about heaven and hell just from nature itself. There won't be an excuse. The Bible said so that they are without excuse. To try to philosophize or use your theology in such a fashion as to eradicate hell is indicative of an individual that has so much of hell moved into his heart that he is intending on being comfortable with hell. I'm not comfortable with hell. Amen. Nowadays you hear it used as a curse word on a regular basis and it's become very commonplace as if it's not a literal place. And people talk about a God who would do something like that. Hey, have you ever looked at all at how wicked mankind can be? Have you ever considered that back during the Mongolian war that the Japanese were putting 3,000 Chinese to death on a daily basis? 3,000 people to death on a daily basis. In Birkenwald and Auschwitz, they put hundreds of thousands of people to death and mutilated them and burned them in ovens. Can you imagine what it'd be like when you get to hell? Hell is a place of continued torture. So you're not going to scare me. No, you're too stupid to be scared. You don't have enough sense to realize that life is not just about what you get right here and now. Life has to do with what goes on in the hereafter. The bottom line in any man or woman's life is, where are you going to go when you die? Every other question ends with a then what, then what, then what, then what. And then you die. And when you die, that's when the judgment comes. Oh, well, that judgment has to be the judgment seat of Christ. It has to be the great white throne. No, the first judgment you get is, if you trusted Jesus Christ, the judgment is you come to heaven. And if you didn't, you go straight to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Amen.
All you have to do is do absolutely nothing. What do you have to do to be saved? Trust Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't mean to be hard with you this morning. I don't mean to be too tough on you. But I'm getting nowadays this idea where we have men that are even pink-blooded. They got a backbone like a cotton string. And they're just kind of wishy-washy. And well, I don't know. You don't care anything at all about your kids or your grandkids, daddy, granddaddy, grandpa, pawpaw. If you don't have the courage to say, hey boy, where are you going? Hey girl, where are you going when you die? If the Lord punches your ticket early, where are you going when you die? You say you got courage, you don't even have the courage to tell them at your dinner table, hey, where are you going when you die? Pawpaw's going to heaven. Well, preacher, you know, they can't live it. I got to let them come to it on their own. Hell, hell's not real to you. Well, preacher, you know, in my life, I didn't get saved from hell till I was about 20-something. Yeah, but kids are a whole lot more wicked nowadays. I remember one time a little girl, we got a call this years ago, bazillion years ago. It was the late, early 80s, I guess mid-80s. We got a call, 8th and Main Street. There's a girl trying to dig her way into the middle of Main Street. Cars swerving around her there. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. One of the ladies of the evening that was out there and didn't have on enough clothes to make a pair of breeches for a blue jay, and she had on a rabbit fur jacket. White bleached blonde hair. Down there when I pulled up and turned on the lights to kind of block from the traffic and put my spotlights down there. She's down on her knees. Her knees are bloody from being down on that pavement. And she is clawing at the pavement, just clawing until she has peeled her fingernails back. And her fingers are bloody. And I stop her and there's slobber coming out of her mouth. And I finally got her under control and I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm trying to get away from the devil. I'm trying to get away from the devil. I'm trying to get away from the devil. I had the presence of mind say, you're headed in the wrong direction. You don't go down, you got to go up.
Right.
People say, I don't believe in the devil. You hadn't lived enough life. You can't blame everything on humankind that's going on around you.
Yes. Yes.
I remember years ago preaching about a man down in Hampton that died, and he had a bridge culvert, a drainage culvert that I talked about him, used it as an illustration. And I had a fellow come up, right after the service, he came up to me and he said, you don't know that guy went to hell. I said, I didn't say he went there. I said, if he didn't trust Jesus Christ, he went to hell. I do know that. He said, you can't say that about anybody. I said, you must be going there.
That's right.
I said, I told you there was no testimony. He never said he ever trusted Jesus Christ. He walked out the door of that church and shook my hand. And when I said I appreciate it, he said, hey, whatever. And walked out the door and hit a drainage culvert and died and went to hell that night. Why? Because he didn't trust Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And some of you will sit here today and you'll be mad as a hornet. You'll never come back to the church again because the preacher had the audacity to tell you to go to hell. And here's the thing. You have somebody out here in the world through either internet or social media, or you pass somebody out here and they curse at you and tell you to go to hell and you don't get upset about it at all. But when a preacher tells you that, you get mad enough to leave the church. And some of you are in church and like, well, I didn't bring them to church to hear about hell, preacher, for Lord's sake.
Good preacher.
Lord have mercy, preacher. Why you got to be preaching on hell? Because I knew they were coming.
Amen.
Just because you're living like that doesn't mean we shouldn't preach on it.
Amen.
Amen. I wish I could make hell so real. I wish I could paint. I can't paint a picture so horrible and so bad. You're so immune to that stuff nowadays with the stuff you see on the television and stuff you see on the internet. You see blood splattered everywhere and people with their heads cut off and people burned in cages. There's nothing that escapes your vision anymore. You hear the most horrible things and it causes you to be jaded and your hearts are hard as an adamant stone, as a diamond, and nothing can get through there. You're emotionless. You're like zombies. When it comes to a literal place called hell, you're not even thinking about it. It's like, well, whatever. Let them go to hell then. Jesus Christ thought it was so important that the only way he could keep you out of hell was to come sacrifice himself.
Amen.
And yet the church nowadays doesn't put much emphasis on it. That fella got really, really mad at me when I made a couple of illustrations and then I said as clearly as I know how to say, that man's in hell burning right now. Preacher, you don't know that. I do, according to what the Bible says. Could you look with me in Luke chapter 16? And please understand, this is the most serious message that could be preached. You say, why? Honestly, if you're not saved, nothing else even matters. And if you are saved, nothing else even matters. If you really believe you got saved from there, have you done anything to tell anybody else? Hey, I'm not going. Why do you have to go? I told a person one time, I won't mention names, that their loved one was dying. And I said, well, you're saved, right? Yes, sir. And I said, well, why don't you go tell them you sure would like to see him again other than at the great white throne? Quote, don't you think that's a little bit much when they're dying? I wanted to say to them, don't you think you lack a little testosterone in your system?
Yeah.
They're dying.
Right.
What are you worried that they're going to get upset with you for telling them, hey, when you die, you're going to step on the other side. You better hope it's the right side.
Right.
Why would you not tell them you're going to offend them? They're dying. Or is it because you've lived a life like that in front of them and you're ashamed to go to them, and of all people they would expect to hear that from, they wouldn't expect to hear that from you?
Right.
Well, call the preacher and let him tell them why your life as an example in front of them hasn't been what it should be when they get ready to go. If you're a family member, you have a better chance of getting them in the boat than I do.
Right.
I might know all the things to tell them as far as what the Bible says, but they know you and your life. It amazes me. I want to go to heaven and I want to see Jesus Christ. That's true, but I want to go to heaven and see my loved ones.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't want to go to hell. You say, why? You'll never see anybody.
Yeah.
You're completely alone. Why would you want to go to hell? I'm going to have a party. I don't know who told you that. There ain't no parties in hell. The party's in heaven, stupid.
Yeah.
Pardon me, did I offend you? A fellow came up to me one time. He was a former Marine. He came up to me and he said, your speech is contemptible. It's offensive. And I said, did you go to Paris Island or Paris? I'll have you know I'm a former Marine. I said, okay, then why would you be worried about words? You've had people talk to you and cuss you and call you every kind of name in the book, and a preacher stands up and tells you about hell, the judgment seat of Christ, or the great white throne judgment, and you get jacked up about that because I raised my voice. Are you smoking crack? What happened to you? Are they hitting you with a feather now? What's wrong with you? Some of you decided it's time to pray now. You know what you better do? You better pray to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, why? One thing that's bad about hell is you got a memory in hell.
Right.
You know what will happen? You're going to have to hear this sermon for eternity. Wouldn't that be a drag? There's that guy again. There's that guy again besides the fire. Lord, could you just turn him off? I just can't listen to him. The Lord's like, nope. I put that on here just for you. You missed your chance. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, I know you're familiar with it, but we're going to read it for the sake of the message tonight, or this morning. The Bible says a certain rich man, verse number 19, was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. A certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate, his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Came to pass, the beggar died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. It's indicating or seeming to indicate that the poor man that was there, Lazarus that was there, you know what it seems to indicate? They just threw him on the trash heap.
But where your body winds up, whether you're laid out with all kind of accolades and all kind of beautiful coffins and all kind of mausoleums and all kind of granite and all kind of other kind of things like that, where your body winds up, it don't make no difference, because one of them had all of the accolades for the rich man's funeral, but the other one had nothing but a dump, a trash heap. But guess what the difference was? His soul wound up in heaven and the other boy's soul wound up in hell. It don't make any difference what they say about you when you die. Can I say this, if you'll just allow me the liberty this morning? Some of you are more concerned about what people are going to say about you when you die than you are about where they spend eternity. Amen. You work your entire life so that when they put you in the ground, that you can say, well, boy, wasn't he good at this, and wasn't she good at that, and more, look what they did, and look what they left us, and look at the memories we have of them, and this and that and the other, and you hadn't thought at all about your soul. You know what bothers me about some of you? Some of you have friends and people that you know that you're claim to be close to. You've never opened your mouth one time about hell. Because it's not intellectually smart. It shows how stupid you are to believe in something so silly. Believe in hell. Why, those people could talk you out of it so fast. They can't talk me out of hell. Yeah. Oh, you have the Bible. We have all this other literature because we have more books than you have. Yeah, but who's the author of your books? Amen. The author of my books, God. Amen. I'm going to take his book over all the books in the Library of Congress. Right. Well, I got all these books and all these wise minds and all these philosophers that are in hell. That are in hell. That are in hell. You say, you can't say that. If they didn't profess Jesus Christ as their Savior, I can say that according to what the Bible says. Let me say this to you. What difference would it make to you where they are? It's where you go. You care about you. Where are you going when you die? Does it even matter? Some of you Christians, you say you're a Christian, your life in Christ really matters to you. Have you told anybody else about hell? You told the ones closest to you. You told the ones sitting at the table. You told your little kids. You say you scare the hell out of them. Good. Good. I started learning about it since before I even remember learning about it. I was listening to it till before 9 months I was born. I'm glad I was raised by a hellfire damnation preacher. Amen. In a Southern Baptist church. The audacity of my dad to preach on hell. How dare him? How could you ever have a congregation of people? Back then, Southern Baptists had a little bit of grit in their crawl. They're not like some of you. Back then, he pastored a church of 3,000 people and stuff and still wasn't afraid to preach on hell because he wasn't running a popularity contest like some of you are. Amen. You wouldn't open your mouth. You say, why? You keep living like it. Come on. You intend to live like it. You don't care about a letter I read. Oh, here we go with a scare tactic. Oh, they're trying to scare me. Well, better hell scared than hell scorched. Amen. Why'd you get saved? You know, because I didn't want to burn. I was scared to death of burning. I was scared to death I was going to fry like a piece of bacon or a grease ball, never going out. Hell was real to me. You say whatever you want to say. When he preached on it, in my mind, I saw myself down there splashing around in hell. I saw myself burning and never getting out. I saw myself screaming and hollering and ranting and raving. It scared the tar out of me. And I said to myself, there's got to be a way out of here. Amen. And the Lord said, it's me. I said, I'll take it. Well, you know, you weren't smart enough to know I was smarter than some of you. Some of you, you've educated. Some of you, you've worked. Some of you have been through some bad things. You've watched a mom and a daddy that didn't live it. You've had somebody that misused you. Somebody claimed to be a Bible believer or whatever and didn't live the right kind of life or wound up a drunk or a drug addict or wound up in prison or jail somewhere or wound up doing something else. You're using that for an excuse. Hey, why don't you quit ducking it? Why don't you just be honest before God today and admit you're the problem? You're just hiding behind. That's a cheap shot. Taking shots at somebody that's already gone on, or because somebody else has fallen, you're using them as your excuse. Why don't you pick somebody else as your excuse? Why don't you succeed? You're picking the wrong crowd to hang out with. You got the wrong mentors. Say so you shouldn't be so serious. No, you should be more serious. Amen. It's a serious matter. You say, why? Because when people die, they go one place or the other. You are not your body. I've said it to you many times before. Here lies old man Pease underneath the shade trees, but Pease ain't here, ain't nothing but the pod. Why? Pease shelled out and went to God. But Pease is going to go to God if he's trusted Jesus Christ and to hell if he ain't. I believe it, and that's what we preach. Otherwise, no point in the church. What's the point? If there ain't no hell, why have church? Really, let's just build a monument to atheism or something. I mean, you know, we don't believe in God. God's like, okay. Doesn't that bother you, God? No. Don't bother me at all. I've been dealing with that since I created y'all. People didn't believe me since the garden. I told Eve, don't touch that tree. I told her not to eat of the tree. I told her what she should do. She didn't believe me. She did what she wanted to do. It made a mess for her. It didn't change who I was just because she didn't believe it. It didn't matter.
I've told people time and time and time and time and time again, this is what I say. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. They didn't believe me. They died anyway. Notice what the Bible says. He said the beggar died and was carried to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and in hell lift up his eyes being in torments and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Lazarus is across the stream over there, across the great Gulf Fix. He's in a place there called paradise or Abraham's bosom. I want to notice, first of all, the rich man still has the ability to see, to hear, to feel, to speak, and he still has needs and desires. He said, tell Lazarus to come dip his finger in the water and come cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in the flames. How come that guy never said, hey, I was wrong? Hey, could I get out of here? I was wrong. No, he's looking out for himself. Hey, send that guy over there. Lazarus never opens his mouth. All his needs are met. But that boy right there, you know what he can do? He can see. And he can taste. And he can touch. And he can hear. And he can feel. And he has desires. And he has wishes. And he has wants. And he has needs. And they're insatiable. The sensations don't stop in hell. People get the mistaken idea because certain religions teach that you're just annihilated. You're not annihilated. But eventually, according to Isaiah 66, God forgets you ever existed. You say, why? All that matters to God is whether or not you're saved or not. He don't care what you do down here on this earth. That has to do with the judgment seat of Christ and some other things. God created you to have fellowship with you. And if you don't want to have fellowship with you, He'll let you go to hell. You go because you chose. You don't want to. You want free will? There's free will. Amen. You want to get saved? Get saved. You don't want to get saved? Go to hell. I'm not cussing at you. I'm just saying, if I say, if you get saved, go to heaven. You don't get saved, go to hell. Oh, he's cussing. No, I'm not cussing. I'm telling you literally. Right. It's one or the other. It's up or down. It's not kind of this kind of esoteric in between. Well, I think if maybe possibly if I live right, I get up there, my good outweighs my bad. And who's your judge on that? Yeah. Even if your good did outweigh your bad, the judge is going to judge you never did wrong.
Right.
His level of good is far and beyond our good. I'll take grace.
Yes. Yes,
sir. I'll take a free gift.
Amen.
I want to say Lazarus doesn't speak because all of his needs are met. He's content. But the rich man still has all of his sensations. Not the least of which is a memory.
Yes.
He remembers being up there and being with his family. I wonder if he's homesick. I wonder if he's thinking about his brothers up there. The Bible says he thought about it. He said, hey, Lord, do me a favor here. How about sending that boy over there, Abraham, send him up there to see my brothers. You know what the Lord said to him? Abraham says to him, you know what he said? He said, listen, they're not going to believe if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, the Bible. If they don't believe what that said, they're not going to believe even if somebody rose from the dead. And some of you, you know what you're waiting for? You're waiting for somebody that comes along and said, I was in hell and this happened to me and I really know. And you say, psh, what a joke, man. And yet the Lord tells you there's a hell and He went there and paid the price for you and you don't have to go there. And you know what you do? You've heard the gospel time and time, especially in the South. I think some of you Southerners think heaven is going to be something along the fact, along the thought or idea that whatever it is in heaven, it's going to be more than what you have right now. It's just going to be better and better things. A fishing pond, and a Bren pond, or a bass boat, or a golf course, or a basketball. I don't know what you think heaven is. That's not what heaven is. Heaven's being in the presence of God. Beyond anything you can possibly imagine. I know what they're doing up there in heaven when they're shouting and throwing their crowns. You say, why are they shouting and throwing their crowns? Are you kidding? That's the guy that saved me from hell. The Lord lets you look in hell and said, oh man, I didn't have to go there. Oh, there's the one that saved me. There's the one that died for me. Look at him when he's coming through here. Here he comes. Well, that's him right there. Woo! Look at that boy. Here he comes. Here comes Jesus. Man, what are you shouting about? There goes Jesus. That's why I'm shouting. Here he comes again. That's why they're shouting. They can't get over the fact that they should have been in the other place, but they're in the right place because he went and paid the price for them. But there'll be some of you that'll be here today and say, I ain't walking down that aisle. I ain't going to get joined. I ain't going to get saved. I ain't about to get saved. We had a young girl that got saved here on Thursday after Wednesday night. You say, why? The Holy Spirit said, hey, you're headed in the wrong direction. You're going to hell. You're not going to be annihilated. You're not going to cease to exist. You're going to be in a bad trip that you can't wake up from.
Yeah.
One that nobody can put their arm around you and say, it's going to be okay, it'll wear off. It's going to be okay, it'll wear off. It ain't never going to wear off. The sensation is going to be there for all eternity. It is going to plague you. Well, I'll just be to the point of insanity. There's no insanity in hell. Everybody is in their right mind and very much aware of what's going on. As a matter of fact, if they don't have the mental fortitude to accept Jesus here, they'll be like a child and they'll be taken up to heaven. You don't have people down there that don't have their mental faculties. Everybody will be in their right mind and fully aware that it is God's wrath upon them that's abiding on them right now. Well, I just don't believe a loving God. Too much about the loving God and not enough about the holiness of God. Not enough about the wrath of God and the judgment of God. Too much of the New Testament Jesus on the earth here trying to make him all human instead of making him like God. That was the God-man, the true God. God manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ down here. But don't make him so human you make him filthy. Don't drag his garments down in your mud hole. Walk him around as if he was tempted at all points. Oh, I wonder what he did with the temptation. Yet without sin. He knows what you go through, but was without sin. Well, could he? Yeah, he could have or he couldn't have been tempted. But you know what he said? I ain't doing it.
Amen.
We get wore out nowadays with people trying to humanize God. You're going to face him one day. A fellow said to me one time when I was at a meeting, I just mentioned it in a little short paragraph about the judgment seat of Christ. I was talking about that was a sermon, and then I kind of went off on the hell thing. He could not wait till the service was over with. You're going to tell me that God is love. He gave me the verse in the Bible. And for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And I said, yep, but keep reading. He goes, keep reading what? I said, read verse 17. That if you reject him, the wrath of God abides upon you. What do you think that is? That ain't annihilation. That is an eternal being. You have to pay forever. I said, you can commit murder. You can pay for that here. Because that's against a human life. You can either pay with your life for life, or you can pay with it in an electric chair, or you can pay with it with a needle, or however they choose to execute you. But you cannot pay for killing the Son of God. So you either accept him and you get out, or you don't. Kids nowadays mock and laughed. In my days when I was growing up, if I did that during a church service, even if my dad didn't agree with the preacher, he would blister my tail. You say, why? There was a respect for the Bible being preached. Nowadays, parents teach kids in the idea of free thinking to mock God, to mock the Bible, and to mock preaching. There used to be a day when it came to respect, people had more respect for preachers and for churches than they did for policemen and for politicians. But nowadays it's kind of like, yeah, they're just another charlatan. Well, everybody ain't a charlatan and everybody ain't a joke and everybody's not doing all the stuff that all the other preachers that you seem to pick out are doing. That just shows what you're interested in. Notice what the Bible says here, verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments. That word torments is being tormented. He said, for I am tormented, verse number 24 there. He said, I'm tormented in the flame. That's present tense. That means he's going through torments right then. Not past tense. Not I paid a little while and then I got out, or somebody paid me and moved me out. No. Tormented. That word tormented is the same word you get for torture. I have done some studying. I have looked at. I was encouraged to do so. I have some books in my library that are not fit for young kids to read about some of the surgeons and some of the doctors and some of the Nazis and some of the things they have done, the atrocities they have done to people in the name of science or experiments, not just in prison camps, but just to human beings. Some things that serial killers and things have done to human beings. Jack the Ripper, who cut out a kidney, wrote a letter and sent it to somebody as for a shock value. Torturing people. Well, if man can torture like that, can you imagine what devil could do? Can you imagine what his devils would do? You say, well, preacher, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to say, why would you go there when I can get complete peace? When I go to heaven, I don't ever have to worry about torture. Why would I go there? Do you want to go to an internment camp? They load a bus up out here and they say, we're all headed to Auschwitz. You know, it's arbeiten. You're just going to go to work. That's all. It's no big deal. We all work. And you come in here and you do your job and everything will be fine. We'll give you three hots and a cot. And by the way, we might take your kids and separate them from you. And by the way, we might take your wife and do unspeakable things to her. And by the way, we might take you and cut off a leg, or we might inject you with certain poisons and see how you do with bleach, or stand you up in a little cage and let you rot there, see how long it takes you to die. If we give you water, don't give you water, how much longer you last, put you in a cage. We might just sew cockroaches up in your head. And we might just do little things like take a hat pin and put that and break your intestines and let you die of all kind of disease and stuff from inside out. I mean, you know, nothing of anything major. If man can torture like that, what do you think demonic torture would be like? If you can feel that in the flesh, can you imagine what your soul could feel? It must be something horrible. It must be something terrible. If the Lord says something one time, it's important. If He says it 162 times, I'm thinking, I might better pay attention.
Amen.
That's one of the literary laws that you learn. The author's trying to get across a point. Notice what he says, if you'll come on down there in verse number 26, the separation that takes place, it's endless. The Bible says, and this is between us and you, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. They would pass from hence and cannot, neither can they pass to us and would come from thence. Nothing mom and daddy can do for you. There's nothing a preacher can do for you. There's nothing your church membership can do for you. You can cry mama all day long. You can cry, well, I know this guy and I know that guy. You can throw somebody else's sins out there. You can spend an eternity talking about it. There ain't no way out once you're there. You're locked in for good. You stay there from now on. The worst thing is you have your memory. What would you remember in hell? You say, why is that so important? Well, after the great white throne judgment, ladies and gentlemen, after the millennium's gone, the Bible says the Lord wipes away the former things and we remember those things no more. I don't know about you, but I'll be glad to have those bad things eradicated from my mind. I'll be glad to have them soaked in the blood of Jesus Christ and gone forever and forever, never to appear again. I can't imagine what that must be like.
Amen.
Maybe you've never done any bad things, or at least bad in your book. Maybe you've never hurt anybody. Maybe you've never hurt yourself. Maybe you've done anything wicked or ungodly, or things that only you and God know about. Maybe you're one of those kinds of individuals that's just pure all the time and righteous all the time and holy all the time. Or maybe you're one of those intellectual individuals that has decided in your own mind, I've just decided there's no God. I've just decided. I have to believe Darwin's theory of evolution. You got to believe something. You can't believe it just peered, you know. Well, if you take God out of here, well, then you got evolved. How come you ain't still evolving? You're going to die one day. You're going to live to see your theory collapse, right? But you can believe that. It's a free country. You know what the Lord said? You got a free will. You know what some of you do? You're so intellectual because you're under such conviction. You're doing something you don't want to quit doing. So you know what you say? I've just decided there ain't no God. So don't put me under no judgment. Be talking to me like that. Don't be telling me ain't no Jesus going to judge me, put me in hell. Don't be judging me. I'm wore out with hearing that. The very people that say, don't judge me, they're the ones worried about judgment.
Right.
Judge me. How do you stand? Guilty.
Amen.
Guilty. I got nothing. I can't say I'm guilty. That's all I can tell you. Well, preacher, what would you do if he was here right now? He'd say, how do you plead? Guilty. I busted all 10 of them, every one of them, and I'm guilty. How do you get to heaven? You.
Amen.
Why aren't you going to hell? You.
Amen.
What if I want to put you there? There's nothing I can do about it. But I had enough sense. But nowadays, people become, because of the internet, they think they're so smart. They've studied stuff that other people couldn't find time because they couldn't find the books. And nowadays, with the click of a button, they can literally run huge amounts of information to prove whatever point it is they're looking for. That is the worst kind of detective work you can do.
Right.
To have already come to a conclusion and then look for evidence to support your conclusion,
Yep. You'll
put the wrong guy in jail.
I
guarantee you can go out there and try to find people who don't believe in hell. You're going to find a whole bunch of people that are there now who said there ain't no hell. There ain't no hell. I'm just telling you right now, there ain't no hell. But they can't come back and tell you, sorry, I was wrong.
Amen.
Imagine the people that they've led in that direction. It'll be over the Holy Spirit telling you that's not true. But nowadays, you know, we've become so sophisticated. We see ourselves as a philosopher sitting upon a rock, and we cross our leg and put our hand to our chin and say, well, as I see it,
If there was really a God, there certainly wouldn't be war. Well, there was a God in the garden and Cain slew Abel. Well, you people that believe the Bible, if there was really a God, how do you explain that book? How do you explain that book? You can't explain it. It's a supernatural book. Why are you always trying to refute it? Because it's real. Well, the way I see it is, there's no God. How do you explain your existence? How do you explain your breathing? I've been preaching now for about 5 minutes. The rest was teaching. And you've been breathing the whole time. How is that?
Well, you see, Pastor, you obviously you're not informed. We each have and created in us a parasympathetic nervous system that causes your eyes to twitch and them to blink and causes your air to your lungs to breathe air and your heart to beat. And the brain has the synapses that on a 2-hour increment for 12 hours, they send signals out to each part of the body for the 12 divisive parts of the organs in the body. We start obviously with the brain and then the heart and then the lungs and then the pericardium. And here's how we, and we know, okay, how did it get there?
Amen. That's right. Amen.
We evolved. Well, how come it's breaking down?
Right. Yeah. Amen. That's right.
How come it's falling apart? How come those of you that continue to dabble in sin, you already look like you're 10 years older than you really are?
Right.
Well, it hadn't got me yet.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, the wages of sin is.
Yeah.
Well, how do you explain the serial killers? The wickedness of man. That's easy. God said those things will always be there. Let me hurry. The suffering is eternal. The torment is forever. In verses 24 and 25. Look, if you will, please, in the unquenched fire. Luke 16, look in verse 24. And he cried, "Have mercy on me, for I am tormented in this flame." The Bible tells you in the book of Mark that flame is forever. It's an unquenchable fire. Your memory is there. Your thirst is unquenchable. Your pain is always there. Your anger and your frustration is there. You're so irritated, you say, why? There's no intellectual way out. There's no monetary way out.
Right.
There's no status way out. The greatest minds in all of the world's history will be right there. The greatest, most powerful people will always be right there. You say, why? They didn't trust Jesus Christ. You say, it can't be that simple. It's so simple you'll miss it if you try to make it intellectually. You know what you have to do to get saved? You have to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know what you have to admit? I can't make it on my own. You know what I would call you if I was a doctor? I'm not. If I was a psychiatrist, I'm not. But if I would say, you know what I would say? You're insane. Literally, you mentally should be in a mental institution if you think you are good enough to make your way into a perfect place where holiness exists. If you think you're that holy to make it in, I would say you're clinically insane. God's holy, right? He's perfect. Now what you got to do is if I'm going to eradicate hell, I got to eradicate heaven. Because everybody can't go to heaven. Because we're not all, like I mentioned in Sunday school, we're all God's children. No. You're sons of Adam. Your father is Jesus Christ, is God if you're saved. But if not, you're sons of Adam. You can't blame God. Well, God made me this way. That's blaming God for all the wickedness in the entire world. No. That's like blaming you for all the people on the earth. No. He didn't father all those wicked people. But you know what you have to do? You have to keep eradicating things. Because you just don't want to add Jesus Christ to the repertoire. You know what the truth of the matter is? At the base of that thing, it's pride.
Yeah, it is.
It's Isaiah 14. Hey, Lucifer. Yeah, light bearer. Perfect in wisdom and beauty. Created with tabrets and pipes. Most beautiful creature ever made. Wisest creature. Perfect in wisdom. Put Solomon to shame. What happened to you? I'll be like the Most High. I'll put my throne above the stars of heaven.
He ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm going to tell him what to do. You know what the Bible says? You'll go down the pit. You know where you found him in the opening part of the message? You found him being down there with the beast and the false prophet. He's down there in the lake of fire. You say, why? Because of his pride. You know what will put you in hell faster than anything? You say, it'll be my liquor, it'll be my cigarettes, it'll be my doping, it'll be my fornicating, it'll be my girlfriend I'm shacked up with, my boyfriend I'm shacked up with, it'll be this, it'll be that. No, none of that will. It'll be your pride that you won't humble yourself, bow your head and bend your knees and say, I want to profess Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That's what will put you in hell. You refuse to admit you're wrong and He's right. That pride will put you there so fast it'll make your head swim. I'm not bowing down to anybody. Well, then you have to go to hell. Because that's what the devil did. You know what? They say birds of a feather flock together. So you know what I find out? I find out that people that are like the devil, they have that hard time with pride. Oh, well, you're very proud and arrogant. Don't listen to the way I'm speaking. I'm preaching to you from what the Bible says. I'm saying to you, not out of pride, that I was smart enough at 7 years of age to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior because I didn't want to go to hell. Now, why are you going? What in hell is there that you're interested in?
Sure.
Demons? Devils? You think there's going to be liquor and cigarettes and partying and fornicating and adultery and nakedness and rock and roll music and, you know, AC/DC is going to lead it off and on the way down there you're going to be hearing Highway to Hell? Is that what you think? You're going to be banging it out with the rockers on the way down there? And once you get down there, you're going to see all those well, and it's just going to be one big rock show and everybody's down there smoking dope? No, you're going to be smoking. You ain't going to be smoking no dope.
Right, right.
There's no eradication of pain while you're in hell.
Right.
Everything in you is going to be hurting.
Yes, sir.
There's this idea you're trying to make it something it's not. You know hell ain't going to be like that.
Right.
That's why you write it out. Well, if you write out hell, you got to write out heaven. You say, why? Because otherwise you're thinking you're going there. Tell me how you're going to get there. You're so smart, I want to know how you're going to get to heaven. That's the only way you're going to get there. You're not going to get there on your own. You say, well, I know Brother Waters down there. I'll tell you what, I live a better life than Brother Waters does. The Lord's like, okay, well, neither one of you measure up. He's coming to heaven. Why? He trusted Jesus Christ. He's not coming to heaven because he's a black man. He's not coming to heaven because he's a policeman. He's not coming to heaven because he's married to Robin Waters. He's not coming. He's coming to heaven because he had enough sense to trust me as his personal Savior. And you're going to hell because you didn't. How are you going to get there? Explain that to me, theologian. Tell me how smart you are. You ain't going to come up with an argument they hadn't been arguing about since Adam walked the earth.
Right.
Always trying to figure some other way to get up there. The Bible said if you come up any other way, you're a thief and a robber. You come in at the door.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's an old illustration, but I love to use the illustration. In Mississippi, right in the 60s, they had an old deacon down there during the riots and stuff that were going on, and some churches got involved in that, and a particular church got involved in it. They went to an old deacon down there, and they said, you need to come to our church. You really belong to that old Baptist church. You need to get away from that Baptist church. That Baptist church is no good for you at all. You need to join our church. Our church has the keys. And the illustration is told of that old deacon rearing back and saying, shucks, boss, I don't need the keys. I got the door.
Amen.
Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no man, no man, no man comes to the Father but by me. You know what you have to do? You have to admit, you're right, I'm wrong.
Right.
Fell said to me one time, he said, well, people would come to the altar, but the way you talk sounds like you're trying to run them in the other direction. I said, I guess that depends on how you're hearing what I'm saying.
Right.
If I'm telling you the bridge is out, if I say, well, you know, the bridge is out. Oh, darn. That bridge is out. Let us be careful lest we fall off into the water. It could really be bad. Hey, stupid, the bridge is out.
Yeah, amen.
What? Do I have to repeat it? I'm turning around, man. You say, why? Because I believe what you're saying. Preachers for too long have preached hell as if it doesn't exist, almost in an apologetic manner, afraid to raise their voice because they fear offending the people they're trying to save. I'm telling you, modern religion, the bridge is out. The modern way, the bridge is out. The only way to bridge that gap into eternity is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You can't get there any other way. You ain't going to get to heaven and look around and go, well, I wonder where so-and-so is. The Lord's going to go, well, did you talk to him and ask him? They're not here for a reason. Somebody didn't tell them. Holy Spirit, say, excuse me. Oh, I told them. You ain't going to get to hell and say, you know, I went to that church. He ain't never said a word about hell. No, you won't. That poor lady, and ma'am, if you're here, I apologize. If you finally came back today, you visited. She was a little bitty lady. She had a blue Bible. And when she walked up to me, I knew, oh boy. Come to Jesus meeting, you know. Pastor, I would like to speak with you. I said, okay, just a moment. Went around my office, opened the door, said, please have a seat. I would like you to know I'm very highly offended. I said, okay, is it like too cold for you, too warm for you? We got blankets or no? Or I have never been in church, and I've been in church my whole life. So, well, you could have fooled me. But anyway, I didn't say that. I have never heard hell so many times in a sermon in all my days. I said, well, thank you. You say, oh, no, you didn't. Oh, yes, I did. I thought she was giving me a compliment. I honestly thought her complaint was going to be somebody didn't have a senior citizen's parking space or something. I thought she's like, you know, well, I heard hell. So I'm like, good, you know why? The sermon was on hell. So I'm like, yes, I got it across. And she got madder because she said, I don't come to church to hear about hell. I said, obviously, that's why you're living that way. I didn't. I wanted to. But I was being kind. I said, well, ma'am, I'm sorry the sermon was on hell. And we believe that and that's what we preach. I will not be returning. Man, I just felt like somebody just literally just pulled their finger out of a water glass and was like, oh, what are we going to do with this giant vacuum? She was so put off. I thought she was going to break her heel. She stomped like a teenager and turned. And she walked out of my office and then she was like, she looked like a deer in the headlights. It's kind of like, and I said, at that time, we didn't even have this. I said, the parking lot's that way. I know how to get out of here. I'm like, well, I'd. You say, why? You really think she's saved? Well, if she is, maybe she is. But if you are, why would it offend you to hear about the place you were going? Yeah, preacher, preach on hell. I ain't going.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all were in church for 2 hours yesterday. What happened? Preacher, preach on hell. He got fired up.
Amen.
You didn't catch that. Preacher, preach on hell, and he got. Okay. They asked Martin Luther one time, how is it you draw such great crowds? He told a group of young preachers, he said, catch on fire, they'll come watch you burn.
Amen.
We don't burn about hell anymore.
Amen.
We've made a gospel that's absent of an imperative point, and that is the punishment eternally for our sin against a holy God.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Shouldn't I present them the gospel? Absolutely. Shouldn't I tell them about the love of Jesus? Absolutely. Shouldn't I also tell them about the repercussions of rejecting a holy Jesus? Yes. Absolutely.
Amen.
But preacher, they're not going to like me. Oh, they'll hate you even worse when they wind up in hell and say to you, I thought you were my friend. I thought you cared about me. Could you imagine me even calling myself a preacher and not telling sheep they're going to hell if they don't get saved? Could you imagine that? People in my care? Could you imagine bringing someone to church and go, I don't know if the preacher's going to present a plan of salvation or not. I don't know if he's going to tell you about hell or not. Lord only knows. Now, he might be preaching on some psychiatry today and show you some things of how to have a happy life. And what started happening is that we start treating the church like a doctor's office. And we only go when we're sick. And then what we do is we find a specialist because we self-diagnose.
We don't go to a general practitioner anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got family trouble? Go see this guy. You got marriage trouble? See this guy. You got financial trouble? See this guy.
We ain't going to the GP. We've all of a sudden decided, I know what my problem is. So I'm going to go to a church that has ping pong, pool tables, and pizza.
Right? Something for the young people. They ask us all the time, what do you have for the young people? Preaching.
Amen.
I mean, they even get preaching in Sunday school. What do they get in Sunday school? In the women's classes, they get teaching, because it can't have them preaching, but she's teaching. But if you walk by them classes, them women teaching them kids, you're thinking, sound a lot like preaching to me. They're getting on their dingbat. They're telling them about heaven and hell, teaching them the Bible.
Right.
And by the time they graduate in junior high school, they got three teachers that are in there, and they're getting preached at, and then they come in here, and they're getting preached at. You say, why? They go to youth camp. What do they get? They get preaching. Why? Because preaching is what pleases God.
Amen.
What about your music program? We have a music program. We sing by letter. We just open up and let her fly. We're not sophisticated. We have to audition. No. Can you carry a tune? No? That's okay. Good. We'll take you.
Amen.
It don't make no difference. Can you just make a noise? It don't even have to be joyful. We're just glad to have you.
Amen.
But the main focal point is preaching.
Amen.
Why? Because it's that what God chooses to save them that are lost.
Yes.
When was the last time you told somebody you claim to care about, hey, there is a heaven, yes, but there's also a hell. And hell's a real place. You know what happens to the rich man? Look at the story. It dies off.
Yep.
And you say, what is he? He's still there.
Yep.
Where's Hitler right now?
Still there.
Choir boy, raised Catholic, died. Where'd he go? Hell. Why? Didn't have Jesus. Where's he at? Right there, right now. If you could open up hell right now, you know, you'd listen to him. The screams you would hear there in hell are beyond anything you can imagine. They're not even human sounding. Their throat raw. And the demons torturing them while they're screaming and tormenting in flame. Oh, I even heard preachers now, they preach on hell, but they preach it without the fire.
Yeah, that's right.
They preach it without the fire. The Bible says God kindled that fire with His wrath and it reaches to the lowest hell. You're not going to escape that fire. And then when you come out of that frying pan, you'll stand before God at the great white throne and then you'll be cast in the lake of fire and you burn forever and forever and forever and forever and forever, and forever where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's an everlasting fire. But God doesn't want you to go there. I don't know what I would have to say to convince you you're a fool if you go to hell. And I honestly believe the only boat that'll take you there is your own pride. I do not believe there's any crime you can commit on the face of this earth. What about blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, preacher? Why do you bring that up? You're not even saved. What are you even worried about it for?
Right.
But by the way, you can't commit that now because Jesus Christ has to be here in body according to Mark 3. And you have to be accusing Him of committing something that's of the devil. The only sin that you can commit that's unpardonable in this age is to reject Jesus Christ. That is an unpardonable sin. Don't be trying to use biblical terms when you're about as biblical as a gnat. The drunk says, you know, well, the Bible says, have a little wine for thy thumb's sake. It says little and when you're sick, stupid. You know what happens? We philosophize. And we get to the point where we think, I'm as smart as God. So you're going to go toe-to-toe with the creator of you. And you're going to tell God what you think He should do with you when all He said was, look, trust me as your Savior and go to heaven. Don't go to hell. It's that simple. Can't be that easy. Listen, don't worry about what church you join. Listen, He doesn't come to preach to just Baptists, Catholics, Charismatics, Pentecostals, Episcopalians. He didn't come to preach a religion. He came to preach to people.
Amen.
You're a people.
Yes.
He didn't come to save a church. He came to save people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about denominations. Think there'll be Baptists there? Well, one or two. In heaven or hell. You say, it's not denomination.
Amen.
It's person.
Amen.
All right, here comes the question. Oh boy, here we go.
I can already, it's like you don't know what happens. When I'm up here, it's like the Lord gives me ESP. I can see into your mind. No. But this little screen keeps running across your forehead going, here we go again, the big sales pitch. It's not a sales pitch. I'm not selling Jesus. It's a preventative measure to keep you from paying for your own sins. But if you want to pay for them because you're so tough, I can handle it. You can't even handle a lighter under your hand for 5 seconds. What makes you think you can handle eternal torture and burning? I saw that little boy in the projects that time, and he had taken that big old crab boil up there on that pot, that big old 5-gallon pot sitting up there burning on that gas stove. That thing burning. Those crabs were popping in there and stuff. Had that big old spoon hanging up out of the top of that thing. That little boy grabbed that handle of that spoon because he wanted to see them crabs in there, like boys will do. He pulled that 5 gallons over on top of him. Boy, it hit him just right here, just below the clavicle, and came all the way down him. He came out there in his underwear. He's got skin hanging off of him like rubber gloves, and he's screaming, and the wind would just gently blow across those nerves, and he would scream the most horrible. Listen, that's been almost 40 years ago. I remember it like it was yesterday. I can smell the Old Bay seasoning. I can see that flesh. I can see that boy who had cried so hard there were no more tears left. And we got out that little blanket, the one time in my whole career I ever used it. It was a silver, shiny thing. I'd wrapped up about that big. And we shook it up and got one on one side and one on the other side. And we held it around that little boy. And we tried to get him where he could sit down there as they got him rescued, because just the very little bit of a breeze that would blow or people would pass by him, he would just scream, "It burns! It burns! It burns!" And that's a human flesh. Imagine a fire that is kindled by the wrath of God that can burn more than you can ever burn the flesh. Don't let your dislike for the preacher make you go to hell. Get saved and then find a preacher that talks a different way, but don't go to hell. They asked President Coolidge one time, he was a little bit of a Bible thumper, you've heard the illustration before, and they asked him one time questions about the Bible, and he'd answer the questions and all that, and one time they're sitting around joking and smoking their stogies and stuff and tipping their martini glasses, and they said, "Hey, how you doing there, Prez?" He said, "Let me ask you a question." "Yeah, what's that?" He said, "What's the Bible say about hell?" He never even missed a beat. He kept walking. He says, "It says you don't have to go there." And he kept walking. You know what I'm here to tell you today? The Bible says you don't have to go there. Amen. If you go there, it's because you choose to go there. Right. I've had big, strong men in prisons and big, strong men in uniform and things like that just stand there and just buck that thing and just buck that thing thinking, "I'm going to do it." And then I've seen them sometimes how like they have little legs of clay or something. They just crumble when they realize, "I can't pay for my sins. I can't pay for my sins. I'll take charity." One fellow says to me one time, he said, "I never take no charity from nobody." I said, "Well, I guess you never get saved."
Yeah, that's right.
Because that all it is pure charity.
That's it.
He's given you everything. You ain't given him nothing.
That's right.
What do you have to offer Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what you have. Your dirty, rotten sins. Your own filthy rags of your own self-righteousness. You can't save a dead horse, let alone yourself. I don't mean to upbraid you or to get on to you, but it's time that you kind of get some smelling salts jammed up your spiritual nose and realize that one of the most important doctrines in the Bible besides the second coming of Jesus Christ is the doctrine of hell, and the fact if you're saved, you're not going there. You should tell other people. If you don't tell them nothing else, just say this: "Oh, I ain't going to hell." Mm-hmm. How do I witness, preacher? "I ain't going to hell." Or if you're from the South, "Hail." Don't make no difference. They say, "Going to hail? What is hail?" "It's a place you go and burn. I thought it was stuff fell out of the sky." No, not if you're from Carolina. It's hail. No offense intended. When I was down from Tennessee, that's what I used to call hail, hail. They sound the same. But that's a great way to witness. You don't have to be all sophisticated. "I'm not going to hell. Why? I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior." "Oh, you don't believe that?" "Yes, I do. Guess you're going in the other direction. I'm going to go look for me a family that's going to be where I'm going to be."
Yep.
"Like for you to be there."
Yep.
You know, one of the most horrible things in the world is when somebody is at a point of death or has died, and I've seen enough of them die suddenly. And to see that family in the conundrum, to see that family all twisted up, and they begin to quietly, when nobody's watching or talking, do you remember whether or not, it usually starts this way, did they go to church? Yeah, they went to church. Did they ever trust Jesus Christ as their Savior? Yeah, I don't know. And watch that family sit at a funeral, stone-faced, and no comfort, because they don't know where their loved one is. And some of you, you're going to leave that legacy with your family. It's one of the most damnable, mean-spirited things you can do. Amen. Is leave your family knowing you are burning in hell because of your own pride and arrogance. Yep. Parents, you want to give a blessing to your kids? Sit them down today and say to them, hey, I want you to know, when I was whatever age, I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I came to Him as a sinner and I asked Him to save me. You say, well, it won't matter. It will when you die. It will matter. I can't comfort anybody. There are not enough words in a vocabulary to comfort people. The kind of comfort that God can give when I can say, but because they trusted Jesus Christ, amen, this is where they are now.
Yes, sir.
The body will catch up later. Otherwise, you're like everything else. People say it's mean-spirited to kill people or to shoot people or to rob people or to steal money from people. There's something meaner than that. And that is that you would, without letting your family know, hey, Mom, I just want you to know, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. You can. I just want to make sure you know that in case while we're apart, we have an accident or my heart stops or something. I just want you to know. Write it down, Mama.
Amen.
Oh, how many times I have seen them grab the family Bible just to see if Grandma or somebody happened to pin in there, did Johnny get saved? Because when you die, they don't care how you died. And people talk and squawk from now to the stinking cows come home. It doesn't matter how you die. It's when you die.
Amen.
It don't matter what you were doing when you died.
Amen.
It matters who you trusted before you died.
Yes, sir, preacher.
That ain't the time to be scrambling around for a testimony. You are as mean as Satan himself to leave your family and your loved ones that way. I've seen little kids come up. I'm a preacher. I'm not supposed to lie. Boy died of an overdose, a bad one. Went to his mama. Preacher, will you do the funeral? Yeah. Well, now you know, preacher, he's a good guy and he did this, he did that, and so on and so forth. And I said, okay, that's great. Can you tell me when he trusted Jesus Christ? Well, preacher, you know, he went to church when he was a kid. I said, I understand. I understand. I'm being kind. I see, little Coral comes up. Is my daddy in heaven? Trying to figure that out now, sugar. Not because he abused drugs. Not because he hot-shotted. No. I'm trying to find out, is there a time that daddy said, Lord, I need you to save me from hell? That mama kicked that cold February ground. Frost in that early morning hour across that ground so strong you could walk and see your footprints. Standing outside as they bring that gurney out there and they're trying their best to cover him as they're bringing him outside of that small little place there, and people in the neighborhood gathering around and that mom looking at what's going on, and she cannot for the life of her. I can't remember. I don't know if he ever trusted Jesus Christ. And all that mom's anguish was made doubly bad because she didn't know, because her son never said, "Mom, I may be wicked as all get out and I may be doing things I shouldn't have done, but I want you to know I got saved." And some of you have never even told your family, "I am saved because I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." Not, "I've been going to church." Whole lot of people went to church after 9/11. Going to church does not get you saved. So here comes the crescendo. If you haven't trusted Him, why not now? Now think about it a minute. Of all the messages you could have heard, chances are pretty good you wouldn't go to too many churches and hear a message on hell. So here's what you have to ask yourself. This begs the question, why is He preaching on hell and I'm here? Maybe because you're going. Maybe this is like that song Brother Sean Brown sing, that this is the last time. 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1. You're out of here. As self-sustaining and self-sufficient as you may see yourself to be, you cannot tell when you are going to check out. And when you do, all your theological arguments, all your philosophical arguments, they're going right out the window. Amen. And all that'll matter is, I'll step out of my body. The Lord will say, "Are you ready?" I'll say, "I've been ready since I was 7. The preacher, you ain't always lived it. Nope, I hadn't. I'm ashamed to say. I might not even be living it at the time I check out. But I got saved when I was 7, so my soul's in His care. You ready to go?" "Yes, sir, I'm ready to go." If you can't say that, could I invite you?
Yeah.
Not to join the church. Not to get baptized. Not to take sacraments. Not to promise to do better. Not to promise, as one preacher said, to get gooder. "I'm going to get gooder, preacher." Okay. How about get saved? Because until you're saved, do you know that your life doesn't even matter? I know, I could just feel that. It's like, "Oh, what?" No, the world's letting you think it matters.
That's right.
It only matters until you get to a certain age, and then they can't wait for you to get rid of it because you're a drain on the society. You know, when you start mattering is when you matter to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And until then, it don't matter. People say, "Preacher, do you think it's ignorance or indifference that causes the problems in the world today?" I guess the answer would be, "I don't know and I don't care." That's a joke. Ignorance. Indifference. But you know where most of you are? Ignorant and indifferent. You think you're smart because you're taking God out of the equation. Miss Pat's going to come play. What's she going to play? "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was..." Oh, preacher, I've heard that a million times. Million and one. God spoke to your heart. Here's an opportunity for you to get saved. Now listen to me. If you need to come and you're saved, you come on and you come now. And you pray for people that are lost, you come on and you come now. But if you're lost, I want you to listen to me. If you want to get saved, we're not going to embarrass you and make a big show. You know what we're going to do? We're going to say, "I need you to pray." "What do I pray, preacher?" "Lord, I know I am a sinner. And according to what the Bible says, I'm going to go to hell when I die. And I don't want to go. So I'm trusting you the best way I know how to save my soul. I believe you died for my sins, were buried and raised again the third day to save me from a devil's hell. I don't want to go. Save me." Preacher, does it have to be exactly? It has to have the elements. Admit, believe, and confess. Not your sins, Jesus Christ. It's that simple. It's like ABC. There's no way the Lord would have me preach a message on hell with that much emphasis on salvation if there wasn't somebody in here that's lost. And this may be your last opportunity. Two stanzas, if nobody comes, we'll close. Two stanzas, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me."
Preacher, what's the Bible say about hell? Says you don't have to go there. Says you don't have to go there. If there's not a time in your mind, I don't talk about a day or an hour. I'm talking about a time where you ran headlong into Jesus Christ and you said to Him, I know I'm a sinner. You might want to check and see if you're saved. I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation. I'm not trying to retread you. I'm simply saying, if you can't recall a time where you came to Jesus Christ as a sinner, you don't have the first element in place. You have to admit that you're a sinner. And you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And you have to confess Him as your personal Savior. Jesus Christ spoke to your heart. You come. Don't be put off by the sound of my voice or the people around you. Don't miss the opportunity to come to Jesus Christ. No other decision is as important as this. You want to go, you grab a hold of a friend and say, listen, I'll go. I don't know what to do, but I'll go. I'll go. I'll go now. We'll take a Bible. I'll take it in my office privately and I'll show you how to trust Jesus Christ. How about it? Will you have the courage to step out? Come on. Come on, preacher. Me. It's me. Come on. We'll take time. Come on. This church exists for you to come so you can meet Jesus Christ. Don't miss Him. Don't miss Him. If you're not sure, let's make sure. Many times, I've had Christians, preacher, I'm just not sure. Okay, let's pray and get sure. Maybe you're struggling with eternal security. Maybe you don't know certain things. How about it? Play me one more, Miss Pat. God spoke. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. People are coming.